Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is the most horrifying, egregious, wicked news story that you've seen recently? There's plenty to choose from. This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. I'm at Georgia Tech. Thinking about some of the stuff that's in the news, the stories about the people who get murdered or blown up, what crime, what act of humanity causes you to go, somebody's got to get that guy? Think of that thing. Try to grab it. What's the thing that you think of where you go, that guy needs to get it? That's the one. Okay, now that you've got that in your brain, there's two ways that we can go with that thought. One would be the self-righteous, sinful way and say, that person or that act needs to be punished. My actions don't, but his do. And that would be the wrong way to look at it. A better way, in fact, I think the way to look at it is to realize, while we find that action egregious because our level of morality is somewhat higher than that person's, we have a more righteous vantage point. And I'm not talking about because we're Christians. You might be somebody who is not a Christian, but you see somebody and you realize that is just a bad, bad person because you are somewhat morally better than they are. Here's what I think is the key in a witness encounter, in evangelism, in salvation, in the four soils. And that is helping the sinner get a different vantage point of himself. To elevate his sense of what is right and what is wrong so that he can look down at himself and see how horrible his crimes are. And God has given us a tool to do that so that we can see what we look like through his vantage point. Because until the individual looks at himself with disdain and disgust, going, I deserve to get it, salvation means nothing. The cross means absolutely nothing. And we will do nothing but create another false convert who maybe has, I've done some, this and that. But until the individual really appreciates his or her own wickedness, I just don't see salvation taking place. I don't think that there's kind of saved people, a little bit sort of saved people. It could be that God gives the gift of faith. What I think this, and I could be way wrong on this, that God gives the gift of faith, more faith, if you will, to different people. But I don't think that salvation happens until the individual looks at himself like, what I deserve. And the way to bring that person there is to twofold, really, and through the same mechanism. God has given us the Ten Commandments to use as a mirror to help the person see him or herself in truth, but also to see God in truth. So the lower we can help the person go by elevating God up high, only then do they start to see themselves in truth and smell themselves and realize it stinketh. Don't know if you heard the last witness encounter. That actually came a long way with that kid, and at least by the end, instead of trying to justify himself, he was asking legitimate questions. Did you hear the difference? Did you hear it? And well, let's hope it's because God was working on him, but because it was by persisting and holding up the mirror. And that's what preaching should do too, by the way. It needs to stay there. These pastors who think, just because maybe they've got some sort of file cabinet orthodoxy, that they preach about sin because they talk about the mistakes that we make, they're mistaken. We need to camp there. We need to dwell there in our evangelism, because really, until somebody really understands themselves in truth, they've just got a long way to go. They just have a long way to go. And I think that it really has to do with the pride issue, that the individual needs to lose any semblance of pride and self-righteousness and ability and desire to work there by themselves, but then also to just realize how really wicked we are. The more I ponder the conversion issue, I think we got to just help people get there as much as we possibly can. Otherwise, I fear we're just going to create more false converts. And so it is. We labor on here at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. I've kind of made my way now full circle. I'm coming back to the center of the campus. We're back to the rapper guys right now. Hey, dude, I'm back. Hey, do you have a minute?
Sure.
Do you have a second? All right. Dude, could a guy like me become a rapper like you?
Rapper? We're not
rappers. Not rapper. A break dancer. Sorry, wrong term. Is that what it's called these days?
Breakdancer, yeah.
All right.
B-boy, whatever you want to call
Beat
it.
Boy.
B-boy. Stands for beat boy, yeah.
All righty.
Yes. How old are you?
Older than you.
Might be past your prime. It's, yeah. It takes
a little... Oh, dude. Past my prime.
Well,
trust me.
Well, past the prime for this. Not past the prime in life.
I think I'm too tall.
No. There's there's a lot of tall B-boys, and they actually are way more incredible.
6'4"?
They're incredible, yes. Incredibly tall B-boys that are awesome. Makes everything they do more impressive because their legs are long, right? So, like, you're swinging really, really heavy, long legs.
Okay. So why don't they do that in, like, gymnastics? Why don't you see tall people in that sport? That's diving, you don't see tall people.
Because gymnasts start when they're young, and gymnastics stunts your growth.
You know, I actually believe you. Because I heard about a girl, a friend of my daughter's, who stopped doing gymnastics. And, like, well, it could have been a growth spurt. But just sprang up because they say it just beats your body down.
Right. So, like, a lot of gymnasts, they start off doing flips. And that's the thing that when you land every time, you're stunting your growth muscles in your legs.
But you're not stunting your growth doing this.
We started late. We started when we were, like, 19. So
what about throwing your back out of whack?
It's all about proper training. It's like working out. Don't go in there trying to lift 500 pounds on the squat rack when you know you can't do it.
All right. Is there any sort of spirituality involved? Any sort of mindset?
I mean, it's like b-boying or breakdancing, what they call it, is one of the elements of, like, hip-hop culture. And that's, like, a culture, if you want to. It's, like, it's more than just, you know, rappers on TV and stuff. I'm not, you know, fully informed on it, so I'm not, like, allowed, like...
So nothing that jumps to mind for you.
Right,
if there
were,
you'd say, we believe in sitting in a yoga position burning incense.
Oh, no. We don't do that.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
Are you individually a spiritual guy?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
You're an atheist?
Yeah.
Okay, prove there's no God.
Prove there is a God.
You're sitting on the creation. Proves there's a creator. Your turn.
Who moved the unmoved rock?
Yeah. Who moved the unmoved rock?
The first stone.
You are correct. But it's not that there's an unmoved stone. The first thing had to be an unmoved mover. Good point, though.
Can God unmake himself? Can God make a stone that he made too heavy for himself to lift?
Well, that would be called a ridiculous question. Can you make a square circle?
Yes.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
It's either a square or it's a circle.
You can cut the edges.
It's a ridiculous
off,
it's request.
A
so I say there's a creation. It proves there's a creator. There you go.
Okay. But that's just what you think. That doesn't mean that you know.
No,
that.
I think that's empirical proof.
How do you know?
How do I know? Because I see it. I'm standing on it. It's
okay,
here.
Well, what about the theory of evolution and the Big Bang?
It doesn't give any sort of reckoning of stuff,
so you don't
of matter, laws.
Bang?
No, sir.
What are you talking about, matter and laws?
Or energy or even space. Big Bang can't account, or evolution can't account for any of that stuff. There has to be an unmoved mover. There has to be something infinite, something eternal, that put everything into motion.
Maybe.
That's what I think.
You don't think?
Hold on. I'll squat. I'm the older one. Oh, you know what? Scoot a little bit. That's even better. Then I don't have to do that thing when I get up and the blood rushes to my head and I pass out. All right, go.
All right, so you don't think that God could have created evolution?
I don't believe that because I don't think evolution, even the process itself, remove God from the whole idea. I don't even think that makes sense.
Really?
I don't think stuff that's disorganized. Well, are you saying that God maybe organized it and just did it slowly over time?
I'm saying that what if God created it so that we learned on our own?
Well, I think that God... Well, see, now I'm starting to tip my hand a little bit. I'm a Christian, so I think that God
Okay. Yeah.
I think that God created it for a different reason, and if you believe that the earth was evolved, it runs into all kinds of theological problems, not to mention the ordering of it doesn't align with Scripture. Hmm. The account that we get in Genesis isn't the same order as evolution.
Are you a fundamental Christian? Do you believe in everything the Bible has to say is literal?
I wouldn't use the term fundamental, but I'm one of those, yeah. Okay. A fundamentalist,
so
typically.
So 6,000 years ago, the earth was created, and regardless of all the fossil evidence pointing otherwise, you still believe that 6,000 years ago God created the earth?
Yeah, see, I think that you and I probably just bring a different presupposition to the fossil evidence. For instance, you look at something and go, it was a Cambrian explosion. I look at it and go, that must have been the flood.
Okay, and so what about the 7 days, right? So God created the earth in 7 days?
Yes, sir.
Or 6 days and rested on the seventh?
Mm-hmm.
So you believe that, are you one of the Christians that believes that one of the days is like, could be a metaphor for like eons or eras? Or
I
something?
Don't think so.
So you think it was six actual days?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm one of those.
Okay.
We're a dying breed, but I'm one of those.
Perfect. Yo, yeah. Brad, Marcus.
Oh, yeah, he's they will talk your ears off about this. They're on your side.
Are they? Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. But you don't believe in God at all, right?
I went to Catholic school, and I wasn't against or for. I just kind of didn't really want to. I didn't care, and I didn't want to talk. I didn't have a belief one way or the other. But now that if I had to make a stance, I'd probably say against. I'm not. I don't believe in a deity.
All right.
I'm not spiritual either.
All right. I got one more shot to try to convert you.
All right.
So that someday you could look like me.
All right.
That's a goal in life, isn't it?
It's a goal. I want to be 6'4". I want to have a voice like that.
It was a little more. I was thinking in a different realm, but okay, let's do that. I got to take a break, all right? And when we come back, I'll give one more shot at trying to convert you to being a fundamentalist, whiz-bang, Bible-believing, God-created-the-world in 6-24-hour-day Christian.
These guys right here.
No,
these
you. Right here. No, I'm going to give it to you.
No. They already are.
They already are.
So yeah. Don't need to talk
They've
to
them. They've already tried.
Yeah, well, I'll maybe try a slightly different tact, okay?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and then you can teach me how to bust a move.
All right.
Back in just a moment on Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Books of the Bible. 2 Corinthians is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, written about 1 year later. Since Paul had last written, some false apostles had snuck in and began to question Paul's authority. There are many who claim authority in the church, but those called by Christ will bear the marks of Christ, which are humility and reliance upon Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, I got a time limit here. It's Wretched Radio. Ready, dude? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to avoid your intellect.
All right.
And I'm gonna go to your conscience.
All right.
Do you know what your conscience is?
Do it. Yeah, right. I know what my conscience is.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
All right. How many lies have you told in your life?
Quite a few.
Okay, so if I told quite a few lies, what would you call me?
A liar.
Okay, so that would make you a liar too?
Sure, yeah. Right.
How many things have you stolen in your life?
Not many,
okay.
But I've stolen.
But at least one.
Yeah.
So that would make you a?
A stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you'd be a thief. That's
a
right.
A thief.
Grammatically correct. All right.
He's doing it.
All right.
He's getting me.
All right. Private thought life. Lust. How many times today have you looked at a woman with sexual desire?
So many times.
All right.
A lot, actually.
All right. So,
so many.
So your thought life, because Jesus said you don't need to commit adultery. You don't need to commit the act itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just need to think about it, and you've committed adultery in your heart because God looks at your thought life.
Yes.
It's opened up wide to God. It's as if I put a computer chip behind your ear and could record every thought
okay.
and then put it up on a big screen.
Okay.
Imagine how you'd feel if we did that.
If you recorded my thoughts and put it on the big screen?
For all your friends to see.
He's pretty vocal, actually.
Yeah.
But what
so, I mean, here's the deal.
They'd see a lot of stuff.
The issue, with this is it's thoughts and not actions. And yes, thoughts can be harmful if put up on the big screen and
it's not
broadcasting.
Harming. It doesn't matter whether it harms or not. Question is it right or wrong? Okay.
Right or wrong?
I want to ask you because, dude, this is your own private business. But if you want to talk about the act itself, if you have ever had sex outside of marriage, God sees that as fornication.
Okay.
So you've committed it externally and internally. So you'd kind of be without excuse either way.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
All right. When you were a kid, did you always do everything you were told by mom and dad, or were you naughty like every other kid on the
planet?
Naughty
all the time.
All right. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
All the time.
All right. So that's blasphemy. And the Bible says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain.
Okay.
It's like this. If God has given you life and beatboxing and this education and air and food and fun and everything.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, thank you, God, you used his name as a four-letter filth word.
Okay.
But that is also a conditional statement that you said.
Right. Like, you're basing this on the fact that I believe in those things that he said in the Bible. And if I don't... Hey, Drew! I need you to come over here and give this interview.
Yeah, you can, but we'll finish up you
okay,
first.
Okay, finish
right?
me.
Okay, dude. Adolf Hitler is a hated guy.
He's hated.
Why don't you use his name when you're excited and go, oh, Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler? Yeah. I mean, because... That's habit. It's just habit. I mean, I don't have a reason.
You don't have an excuse.
Right, I could say...
You are correct. So you die.
I die.
You stand before the God who made the world in 624
if I believe
days,
in
just
that,
like Genesis
if I believe
says,
in
whether
that.
You believe it or not.
Okay.
All right? It's irrelevant what you believe, because if it's true, you're there.
But if it's not, I'm not there, right?
Okay, well, that's kind of the big difference between us right
okay,
now.
Okay, okay.
All right?
All right.
You die. The books are open on your life. The
books are open.
Sees everything. Are you an innocent man or a guilty man?
On my life? I think that if I'm going to humor this and I'm in front of God and he forgives people, right? He's going to look inside of my soul and see that I have committed sins but I am deep down at my core and my soul, I'm a good person. So that he's going to forgive me or let me into heaven or whatever it is that we're going to do when I die.
Okay. I'm just a human and I would say deep down in your soul, you're a guy who lusts and fornicates and uses God's name in vain.
Right.
I don't know what would lead you to believe you're good at the bottom of your soul.
I mean, that's an open interpretation, right?
Okay, imagine a criminal saying that. Let's say there was a criminal who committed as many crimes as you and said to the judge, Judge, at the bottom of my soul, I think I'm a good guy. The judge would say, I don't care what you think. You're
right.
Guilty. Off to jail with you.
But, I mean, but God really knows, right? Because he's the all-knowing
yes,
guy.
He
so
does.
He'll know in the end. And it really
yes,
just depends.
Yes, he will.
It really depends on what he
dude,
does.
You've taken his name in vain.
Yeah.
You're a good guy. Thanks for using my name instead of a four-letter filth word.
Well, he can use my name in vain. I mean, that's not something I'm,
okay.
like, worried
and,
about.
Instead of thanking him, you used his name that way instead of being
all
grateful.
All right, so is this a way to try to get me to believe in God? Or is this
it's
to, like, make me feel bad about...
Yes.
Okay.
It's a way to make you feel... But it's also a way to go to your conscience. There's a courtroom in your mind that knows that there's a right and there's a wrong.
Okay.
And I'm trying to address that to awaken your conscience so you can understand what you really are in truth. We see ourselves one way. We compare ourselves to other people and we think boys will be boys. But that's not the way God sees it. God has a different standard. It's his standard. And it's perfection.
Right.
And he's going to judge you based on his standard because he's the judge and he's the lawgiver. And I'm just trying to reason with you right now to maybe get to your conscience and say, dude, Reason with yourself.
So,
what do you think God is going to see when He looks inside of your heart and your life?
I mean, at this point, is it in my life, if I go before Him with all the things that you've said, He's absolutely not going to forgive me of my sins, right?
Well, if you die in your sins, you'd be like a criminal who's caught in his guilt.
Oh, man. If he's just, well, then we're screwed anyways.
We would all be. I agree with you completely. And that's exactly what the Bible says.
They're screwed. There's nothing we can do about it.
You are correct. But there's something that He did about it.
Here's the
situation. Okay. God is just. And He has been... Okay. Do you ever see anything on the news where you go, that guy's a rotten scoundrel?
I don't really watch the news, but yeah, I've heard of it.
You know what I'm talking. You see somebody who's committed a really serious crime, and you want justice to be served.
Justice.
Because that's a good concept, isn't it?
Yes.
Justice and righteousness, and bad guys getting what they deserve.
Okay? I tend not to pass judgment on people. Like,
okay.
So. I would never wish something ill on somebody. So
God, the Bible says the foundation of His throne is righteousness and justice. He is going to have a day in court where every crime is accounted for. No cold cases with God. No files that just disappear. Every case will be opened up, and every crime will be accounted for. And He will give everybody exactly what they deserve because He's righteous and He's just, and His nature and His character demands it. Because if He lets crime go, then He's not just Himself. So just like that siren we hear in the background, the sirens are coming. God's going to open up the books on your life.
Yes.
He's going to know you in truth from His perspective.
I'm going to get it.
And you're going to get it.
I'm going to get it.
Now, if the story ends there, this is a big drag. But God is more than just righteous and just. He's also kind and merciful. I know we got some tension here.
So what are we bringing? Well, what are we going to bring this all around to?
Here we come, right? All right,
let's go.
God has to punish you. But God is kind and He still wants to save you because He's loving. And despite you, He still loves you anyway.
Yes, He does.
How do you know?
Because you're telling me this.
I'll tell you what the Bible says. God demonstrated His love for you by dying for you while you were sinning. Jesus Christ, the God-man, saw you a sinner, knew all the filthy, dirty things that you would do, and to save you from the wrath of God the Father, He came and took the punishment you deserve by dying on a cross, by being beaten by men, spit on, mocked. God Himself was mocked for you,
yep.
So that God could impute, could take your sins, put them on Jesus, and then take His goodness and credit it to your account, so that you, the unjust, could be seen as just because of what the just man did for you. It's the great exchange.
I see what
you're a guilty man. You're in the courtroom of God's justice. The gavel's coming down. You've got to pay your fine, and you can't, but Jesus paid it for you.
Okay.
You can be seen as innocent because of what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel.
All right. That way
God can be just and the justifier of those who believe in Him. That's what Christianity is about. And I believe that God created the world to demonstrate His goodness by saving a lout like you and me.
That is impressive. That is impressive.
The question is it true?
That is the real question, and nobody knows.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, actually, you can know, and you can experience it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna debate you on creation right now. I tried to get to your conscience, right? I'm going to walk away, and I would simply ask you to think about this, and if your conscience starts to trouble you,
okay.
And it starts to bother you, I'd ask you to go look at every other religion in the world and see if they've got a way to take care of your conscience. And you're going to find that no other religion has a way to deal with your guilt problem. They're going to tell you to try to clean up your act. But even if you clean up your act from this day forward, crimes behind.
Let's for a minute, let's assume that I'm feeling guilty and horrible, which I'm not. But let's just assume.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think that because we had this conversation, that's going to change my like because of that, I'm going to go out and repent and become a better Christian. And the thing is, you made all these statements about my lust and my sinning, and let's just lump it all together. But that's your opinion, and it's and God's opinion, right? But that's not my opinion. And with that being said, yeah, I can't be influenced by anybody, or I would like.
So we got three
it's like
opinions here.
But it's your like opinion. it's like being a Christian and having someone come up and tell you all the things wrong with it, and saying, well, why don't I walk away, and you question your Christianity and then go look everywhere.
Okay, I'm not trying to get you into a cult. I just told you go take a look at Buddhism and Hinduism.
I mean, you can't say
Mormonism.
Christianity is not a cult. You can't say that. You can't make those. You can't just say these like things with like.
It depends
with
on how you define
like,
cult, of course. But I'm simply sharing with you what the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. Right?
Okay.
It's what the Bible says.
You're not the first person. I went to Catholic school. I know what Christianity has to offer.
There's a difference, though, between what I just said and what Catholicism says. Catholicism says that you still need to work your way there and perfect yourself. I've said something radically different. I've said you're not perfect and you're hopeless without intervention. And the intervention is Jesus, who is more than good enough for you, who will save you based on his goodness and not on your own.
With that being said, I will think about it.
That's all I can ask you to do.
I will think about it.
All right. That's all I'm asking you to do. All right. And if you start to get a little concerned and actually legitimately feel guilty, try to find a solution for your guilt.
Elsewhere.
Look everywhere you want to.
And then come back to Christianity like a lost puppy.
Take a look and see if it's not the only religion that can help you.
I'll do my best.
All right. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
All right.
Appreciate it very much. Sean. Goodbye.
Alex.
All right. My name is Todd. What's your name?
Sean.
Nice to meet you. Alex?
Alex.
I'm going to wrap this up, so sit tight. I'll come back and we'll chat. All right? Sit tight.
All righty.
Round 7 will continue until tomorrow. Go serve your king.